Injured Workers at the Supreme Court of Canada by Steve Mantis. One of the highlights of my last year was attending the Supreme Court of Canada on December 9th, 2002. The court was hearing the Martin and Lassure versus the Nova Scotia Workers' Compensation Board case. The Ontario Network of Injured Workers Groups, ONIWG we call it often, has gained intervener status, and the room was packed with injured workers and their representatives. Some background on the case is that the Nova Scotia legislature passed a bill to limit benefits to workers with chronic pain disability to 4 weeks. Mr. Martin and Ms. Lassure were denied benefits under this new law and appealed to the Nova Scotia Workers' Compensation Appeals Tribunal. That's often referred to as the WCAT. The WCAT found that the workers were being discriminated against under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms and overruled the Workers' Compensation Board. The cases ended up at the Supreme Court for a final determination. The day of the hearing, it was cold, clear and windy in Ottawa, minus 20 degrees, not counting the wind chill. The Supreme Court is just down the street from Parliament Hill in a big, old, fancy stone building. As the courtroom slowly filled up with lawyers, law students, and ONIWG supporters, there was excitement in the air. The night before, injured workers' consultants organized an educational for the injured workers attending the case, which worked well to orient the layperson on both the process and the background of the case. The nine justices in black robes entered and sat on the raised platform in front. First up was Anne Clark of the Nova Scotia Workers Advisors Program representing the injured workers. She explained how this new section of the Act removed benefits for all workers who have chronic pain disability. No vocational rehabilitation, no help with return to work, no long-term medical or financial benefits. Some of the Supreme Court justices couldn't understand how the WCB wanted the injured worker to return to work but wouldn't provide any assistance. The WCAT of Nova Scotia then argued for the ability of the WCAT to invoke the Canadian Charter. As the final level of appeal in a closed workers' compensation system, the WCAT plays an important role in maintaining the checks and balances needed in a fair and open public system. Without their ability to interpret the law, the whole system was vulnerable to political abuse. Ina Chada of ARCH, a legal resource center for persons with disabilities, represented the Ontario Network. She spoke strenuously about the need for the court to protect the rights of workers who became disabled. With the justices paying close attention, Ina talked about the resulting loss of self-esteem that disabled workers experience when their individual disability was denied as real. This offends human dignity rather than enhancing reintegration. She also spoke about the major review of CPD, that's the chronic pain disability, recently done in Ontario, that confirmed that CPD was real and should be treated as any other disability. The Canadian Labour Congress made the point that workers gave up the right to sue and that the court needs to ensure fair treatment under the workers' compensation system. Nova Scotia law now excludes injured and disabled workers from receiving help in return to work, which the Supreme Court has previously ruled was unacceptable, such as in human rights cases on accommodations. This completed the appellate side of the proceedings. Following a short recess, the Workers' Compensation Board of Nova Scotia presented their case. Chronic pain disability is a major cost issue in Nova Scotia, with 251 claims before the WCAT under the CPD, that's the chronic pain disability section, that are awaiting the outcome of these cases. As well, the section of the Act limiting benefits to CPD was meant to deal with the WCB's debt. This seemed not to go over well with the Supreme Court justices as a valid rationale. They questioned the WCB rather vigorously on how a person could be denied the opportunity to present his or her individual case and have a decision made based on the merits of that case. The Attorney General of Nova Scotia argued that the elected government had the power and responsibility to regulate the system. The justices strongly questioned how the government can determine what the circumstances are with an individual with chronic pain without an individual assessment. The Attorney General of Ontario argued that a tribunal can only apply the Charter when its enabling act specifically includes this function. This would give the government total control and can't be overruled by any tribunal. The Attorney General of British Columbia basically echoed Ontario's position on this. Their argument didn't seem to go down well with the justices. The Chief Justice then adjourned the proceedings, taking the case under advisement. It is expected a decision will be handed down within the next year. The outcome of the case is yet unknown, but the issues were very important to the future of workers all across Canada. If a provincial government is allowed to deny compensation for everyone with a particular work-related disability, then disabled workers may lose compensation for long-term disability. And if the final level of appeal in the workers' compensation system, the WCAT, is prevented from protecting our rights under the Charter, workers may lose those rights in the future. The fact that injured workers were there in the court to act as witnesses to the proceedings, I believe, help the justices see the importance of the case to real, live people. I was proud to be one of those injured workers at the Supreme Court of Canada. Thanks are due to Injured Workers Consultants, a community legal clinic based in Toronto that organized the participation of so many injured workers. The Canadian Labour Congress for helping finance the travel costs of many of the injured workers. And last, but not least, to ARCH, the legal clinic that represented Onewig at the Supreme Court, and the Industrial Accident Victims Group of Ontario, and McQuesten Legal and Community Services, who were part of the legal team who presented at the hearing.